From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, more Idaho Matters right now. For the last 40 years, one Christmas movie has steadily gained a following of faithful watchers, one that has gotten bigger every single year. In fact, it's broadcast for 24 hours from Christmas Eve through Christmas Day on networks like TBS and TNT. And if you're familiar with the catchphrases, "I triple dog dare you," and "you'll shoot your eye out, kid," chances are you've seen A Christmas Story, and it stars Peter Billingsley as Ralphie. Billingsley continued acting. In fact, you can spot him in the movie Elf, and he went on to producing as well. Think about that little movie called Iron Man. Well, now he's in Idaho, and he's a board member of the Idaho Film Society, which is hosting a special 40th anniversary showing of A Christmas Story at the Egyptian Theater in Boise on December 14th. And he's joining us now, along with Aiden Brzonik, filmmaker and executive director of the Society. I want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
So before we start talking about the Film Society and really what a great thing this is for the state, Peter, I want to start with you because so many people know you from A Christmas Story, but you had quite an acting career under your belt already when you starred as Ralphie. So when you were making this movie, and I know you were a kid, did you have any idea that it would become really this icon of Christmas theater?
No, you really don't. I actually have a fairly good memory of it because I was 12. I looked pretty young, but I had done some movies. I'd done quite a few movies beforehand with a lot of hype on them. A movie with Burt Reynolds, a movie directed by John Schlesinger, both were bombs. Didn't do anything, were expected to do very well. And this was like this little movie that the filmmakers had worked about 12 years to get off the ground. Nobody wanted to finance it or make it. And it was different in that they just had a genuine passion and a vision for this movie. Very little money, modest budget. You hope for the best with these movies. You know, I've made enough of them to know you don't know which ones are going to pop out. But I kind of always refer to it as sort of a take your lunch pail to work kind of movie. And then it kind of came and went. And we thought, oh, well, that was nice. We liked it. But it built this following. The timing was excellent because video, cable, VHS was just coming sort of in the early 80s. And it was this title that just kept popping up. So in some ways, I think it was a gift that it found a life later, as opposed to an overnight success. It gave kind of everyone a little time to sort of process it.
When did you start realizing that it was really becoming almost like a cultural phenomenon?
I had grown up in Arizona, and I do remember a moment. I went into a video store just to get a movie, and this must have been in the 90s, and had long forgotten that movie. And I saw a standee of me, like a cardboard cutout of me from that movie in the cowboy outfit.
Okay, that has to be weird.
Totally weird. But I said to the video clerk, I'm like, what is this doing here? Like, this is a movie that's really old. And he said, people keep asking for it. Apparently people were passing VHSs around, sort of had cult status. And that's when I kind of realized, wow, there might be something. And then obviously after the marathon, which, you know, I always said to people, I was kind of apologizing. They're like, your movie's on 24 hours. Like, I know I have nothing to do with it. Sorry. It just started to catch fire.
And I'm assuming that people still probably walk up to you this day and say things like, you're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
Very much, yes. Especially this time of year, yes.
And as I mentioned, I mean, you kept on acting after A Christmas Story. I mean, you played in the movie Elf. You also had a role in Iron Man, but you were an executive producer on this film, which some people may not know about.
I would pop in and do little cameos on a lot of the movies that I would produce later in life, which was fun. It kind of kept me working, but I sort of stopped pursuing acting as kind of a full-time job when I sort of moved to the other side of the camera.
So when did you start collaborating with director Jon Favreau, who, by the way, I think is amazing?
Really talented. You know, I'm great friends with Vince Vaughn since the late 80s, and we met in L.A. when he had moved out from Chicago. And I had moved to L.A. to just kind of cut my teeth, move to the other side of the camera. We were both about 18 years old and trying to find our way. And then he met Favreau during a movie called Rudy. Around 1994. And then John was kind of part of the group. We all sort of came up I guess you'd say kind of at the same time. And then they went and made Swingers a couple of years later. And then I started producing a lot with Vince and John as well.
So let's go to today, Peter. How did you get involved with the Idaho Film Society?
Well, the man who is on with us, Aiden reached out to me and asked if we could speak a little bit about the Idaho Film Society. And I think it's something that they've been wanting to kind of get off the ground for a while. And I can tell you what I responded to, but I'd love Aiden to really kind of share its core mission and values. But I think what's great about it is it just starts rooted in the love of film and wanting to bring community-based screenings, common spaces, viewings, sharing of for filmmakers, for fans. You know, it starts with that love of film and really the reach that film has.
So Aiden, let me bring you into the conversation and let's just begin with kind of, as Peter mentioned, the origins of the Idaho Film Society.
Yeah, so this all started out actually as a almost like a second step in trying to get a film industry off the ground here. I grew up in Boise and very quickly realized that there wasn't a film scene here when I was 17, 18. I wanted to stick around, tell Idaho stories, but it wasn't really an option. So I left for about 14 years and bounced around in Chicago, Austin, and then Los Angeles, and kind of trying to cut my teeth, get good enough to make stories that could accurately represent Idaho. And then I always assumed that someone would have gotten it done by the time I got back, and never happened. So and trying to make a movie that is supposed to be shooting next year about the way that I kind of see Idaho and view Idaho. In that process, getting involved on the film permitting for the city, trying to get some guidelines and regulations, just basic stuff going. Mm-hmm. I met a lot of like-minded film folks. One of my mentors asked me during that time period, what was the goal of, you know, not just making a movie here in Idaho, but like, what is the long-term, mm-hmm. you know, hope? And it was like, well, let's do something kind of similar to what Austin did, make a grassroots film industry that's tied to the identity of the state. You know, what Idaho is fantastic, and we don't want to change that and tell more Idaho-based narratives. So he said, well, let's put something together. And he was the one that really encouraged me to start this before I thought we were ready for it. And then, you know, after a couple of weeks, we had a couple board members. And then after about 2 months, we had 14 board members, moved into the Greyhound bus station on 12th and Bannock. And now we're partnered with a lot of amazing movie theaters like the Egyptian, and we're off and running.
So, you know, Aiden, it sounds so similar in some ways to the Treefort Music Festival, you know, the origin of this, right? Where kind of this grassroots idea and effort to try to keep the arts in Idaho, or frankly, to showcase the arts here in Idaho. And, you know, now let's fast forward, right, to what Treefort is doing. I mean, do you kind of have a vision like that? As you mentioned, you're in the old Greyhound bus station now, to really, you know, create this place for film to be made here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, funny you mentioned Treefort, because Eric Gilbert is one of our board members. So
I should have known.
Of course, he's got his hand in everything. we've got a fantastic group of people, and I think the main goal has always been there's a lot of valid Idaho narratives that have yet to be told. The main emphasis is pulling in the right people to make this happen. I know there's been a couple iterations of trying to get the film industry started here, and I think in the past, and a lot of it just comes down to timing. I think especially after COVID, you see a lot of people wanting to live in a place that feels, you know, comfortable, a great community values. And I think Idaho kind of checks all those boxes. And from that, I mean, that's how Peter came on board. You know, we were like, we want somebody that's got a lot of experience and that understands this industry, can kind of show what the best practices are. You know, Peter has been very influential in how we're trying to shape this and make it not just a good film industry, but also something that's community centric. But, and you don't have to, I think, compromise on those two things. I don't think we have to go by the New York or the LA value set. We can build something that's both good for the community and a good industry.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, Peter, because I mean, here you are, you know, a producer, and I'm curious as to how you see how this can move forward and really flourish over the years.
Well, I think sometimes when people think of a film society or film in a new state, they instantly think of maybe Hollywood productions coming in. They think of a tax credit for the state to attract Hollywood productions. And I think that can get a very mixed reaction. I've seen it on the other side, where certain states at certain times kind of attract the work. North Carolina, Chicago, you have Georgia, which has really built a robust one. But there can be a revolving moving door. We've been through Canada, now we're traveling the world. And sometimes those states can run out of money. And I think what I liked about the board was it wasn't putting the cart before the horse. If that becomes an end result of the mission, great, but you can't lead with that. You lead and you start, and you're right about Treefort. From what I've learned about it, it starts with this love of music, wanting to get musical acts, wanting to foster local acts, and then you see where that grows to. And so what I really liked about this was, hey, there's a little bit of a film presence here, but not a ton. Maybe you can get some like-minded people together. And Aiden's been such a great champion, and he's just a lover of film. It's just a passion. And so we can start with events like the one we're doing at the Egyptian on the 14th, which is sort of a screening. Can we attract different filmmakers now to come here and do different events? Aiden's going to work with a lot of curators out of the bus station. We have a beautiful screening room that's being built. Members can come in. They can curate their own. So it's starting with that kind of love of film. That film has always had a place, you know, it's at its best. I think we love watching movies with other people. It's a communal experience. And so how can you foster that? And then where that grows will start to reveal itself, as opposed to necessarily putting an agenda kind of ahead of that.
Mm-hmm. And Aiden, talk about the old Greyhound bus station on 12th and Bannock. I mean, first off, it's a great location. I mean, you're in the heart of downtown.
That's a good location. Oh, it's great.
Right?
Yeah.
But how in the world did you, when I told my husband, the first thing he said is like, well, where's the bus station now? I'm like, I don't know, but I will find out.
I think people come by every single week and they still are trying to catch bus. So,
And you're like, no, but you can watch a film. You can watch a film now.
Yeah.
But honestly, is part of the goal to make this a production stage? I mean, and also how are you able to acquire the building? I mean, I think it'll just be, you know, so great for the downtown core to have something like this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we really lucked out. A lot of this is Eric Gilbert's doing in a way where they, in the last Treefort, they had a stage set up at the Greyhound station, and it was a really awesome use of the space. They had kind of done a band area. There was like drinks and cocktail lounge in the kind of main lobby, and it was just a cool setup. And after Treefort had ended, I was like, oh man, what are you guys doing with the building? And he's like, oh, we don't own it. We're just, you know, using it. And the owner, Andrea Clark, and her husband Caleb, they're the ones that are just fantastic community builders. They just let us use it. And I said, well, could we move in there? Could we? I do a lot of asking like that. I was like, can we have that? And then he's like, I think you can get it for pretty cheap. And we did get it for very cheap. We got it for $1 a year for the next 3 years. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know if they should be public knowledge or not, but Andrea's been fantastic. And she's just, you know, she's all about community. And she said, hey, I want this, you know, passion project of you and your board to get off the ground. We're not going to charge you a lot of money for rent. Idaho is champion, or Boise specifically is a champion of the arts. So let's make this thing happen. And she gave us the building, and then one after the other, we started building it out, and partnerships with, when the Northgate movie theater closed down, they gave us an entire film set up. We met another guy named John Eichhoff, who's the one of the only, or the one of the last real technicians of 35 and 70 millimeter film.
Oh, wow.
When you're trying to get the Egyptian theaters system up and running, we messaged a place in Chicago and asked where who fixes up their equipment, and they said, actually, we got a guy in Idaho that does it. So there's I've been Idaho connections all the way through this thing. And I went out to Wendell, talked to John. He in turn came down. He's now currently right now, while we're recording this, is fixing up the 35 and 70 millimeter projection systems at the Egyptian. So,
oh my goodness.
I mean, people keep coming out of the woodwork. And I think having the Greyhound station as our kind of headquarters really showed the community pretty quickly that we're very serious about making this happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I
and
think
yes,
there's something
there plans
really
to have a little production space as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then, yeah. And Aiden, maybe you want to talk about that a little bit, just kind of the plans for starting with a small stage and then growing out from there.
Right. Yeah. So the building is, and well, the usage of the building is kind of a byproduct of all the meetings we were having at City Hall about the things that Boise is lacking in production capabilities. We don't have a rental facility for camera gear. You have to drive to Salt Lake or to Portland. Those are the closest places to get camera gear from. So I think everyone's a little tired of doing that. And then we don't really have an actual soundstage anywhere in the state. There's some smaller operations going. I don't want to say anything, but a place that is available and like locally centered, you know, centrally located, I should say, a place that, you know, both agencies can use, that is equipped for what an agency production is used to having, and then also something that we can, you know, partner with Boise State and have as available for students. So there's a lot of uses for it, but we're trying to make one central location that covers all these different things, and hopefully, you know, the whole community is going to grow out of that.
How important is it too, I think, to, you know, when you bring something like this, it gives almost new life for so many people who are creatives, right? I mean, I think you can, as we mentioned Treefort, I mean, you can look at what they've done, but the collaborations even with our food industry, right? And so many local restaurants. I mean, there is a place for people, so they do not have to, you know, move for 14 years like you did, Aiden. Was that part, I mean, was that in the back of your mind kind of when you were thinking about this film society, is how do we make space for creatives who actually don't want to have to go move somewhere else?
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of the reason I left when I was, I think, 18 was that I didn't have any mentorship. I didn't have any real guidance. And this industry is, as Peter can probably attest to, is it's a very, you know, cutthroat industry. And a lot of it is about the grind of just getting to a point where you are around long enough to, you know, to be part of it. And that took a lot of failures on my part growing up. I mean, I'm a slow learner. So you just kind of have to go through the motions. You have to fail a lot and you have to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I think just having that lower barrier to entry in Boise is something that I think I wish I had when I was a kid.
So I do want to get to the screening in a minute, but Aiden, I want to talk about this competition that you have going on. Talk to us a little bit about this, because does this kind of go back to the mission? And I love that you're bringing, youth into this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our kind of missions, along with building a film industry here, is cultivating a really stellar like love of cinema and trying to raise the bar of what cinema is and can be in Idaho. And so we created this film competition. It's called Why Idaho. It's a 30-second spot that's designed to showcase both students and open to the public filmmakers. What does Idaho mean to you as a narrative place, as a local or as somebody that's moved here? Like, what is great about this place? And using Idaho, I think, in a way that for me when I was a kid felt very much like a bludgeon. Being from Idaho, you were associated with Napoleon Dynamite. You were associated with, you know, a lot of kind of podunk associations. And that's not terrible, but it's not completely representative of Idaho. And so I think the thing that I often felt was a negative growing up here, we're trying to recontextualize that and say Idaho is actually a fantastic place because it's been found out. So I think recently by the rest of the country, that's kind of one of the things that's preserved a lot of the culture and what's been great about the place. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we want students and filmmakers alike to put together a 30-second spot and say, what is great about this place? And let's start to build a new idea of what Idaho is through cinema.
Yeah, so how do folks hopefully grow off from that as well, that this contest starts, but yeah, to foster local filmmakers. I mean, great thing about film and filmmakers is, you know, it's a great blending of art and science, but they're everywhere. You know, you get filmmakers, mm-hmm. you see filmmakers emerge from all over the world. So we kind of wanted to create an opportunity and a space for anybody who feels that they are a filmmaker here locally to give them an opportunity to make the film. And then we will also be able to give prizes for the winners and be able to screen those films for the public, kind of activate this process whereby feels like if you are a filmmaker, like Aiden said, you don't necessarily have to leave, that if you can be tethered to the Boise State Film School, which I went down to visit and think what they're building there is great. And then you can kind of hopefully create some jobs coming out after that through the stages. So again, when you start kind of in the right way in the grassroots level, it can really start to feed itself.
I like just to Peter's point that I think there's a brand new economy that can come out of film here. It's not just movies, right? It's mm-hmm. commercials. It's anything that is a visual medium, and having a center place for that, I think is what we're trying to build out.
And so then how do people find out if they want to participate in this competition?
Yeah, you can go to our website, which is idahofilm.org. We've got a link to the Film Freeway account, and you can read up on all the, you know, information for qualifying for the film competition.
And before I let you go, the Idaho Film Society will be doing, as we mentioned, a 40th anniversary screening of A Christmas Story. It'll be at the Egyptian Theater downtown on December 14th. And Peter, you'll be there and you'll be doing a Q&A. So what will you be talking about? Or is it really kind of like, hey, ask me a question and we'll have a conversation?
It'll be moderated by Mark Johnson, who's kind enough to come out. He's also a fan of the film. And so it's a little trip down memory lane, I think. You know, I'm excited to reveal some of the behind the scenes things that went on during the film, to talk kind of about its legacy. And then we'll turn it over to the audience for some as well. But it, you know, being the 40th, we have limited tickets on sale, and all the proceeds go to the Idaho Film Society. So this is really kind of a kickoff event for us.
Oh, I hope so. And I just appreciate the conversation so much with the two of you and being able to talk about the Idaho Film Society. Best of luck to both of you and getting this off of the ground and running. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Jema.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.